Hey, how you guys doing today? You guys doing all right? Not so good, huh? How you guys doing today? Very good. Hey, look, we're really excited to have you here. My name is George. If I haven't had the chance to meet you yet, and I am one of the pastors here, and I'm excited to be here with you today. If you couldn't already tell, we're going to have some fun today. We believe in having fun at church. Amen? Very good. And I do hope that you came ready to participate in today's message. I'm an emotional speaker, if you guys have ever heard me speak, and I need feedback. I need some love. All right, a lot of you guys, you just stare at me like this. And it's just like, you just have like that entertain me face on. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here so that you might engage and participate in what's happening. Amen? This is not a church of spectators, so get off the sidelines today. If you guys have ever been to a hockey game, a football game, whatever, just because you're in the audience doesn't mean you can't get loud, all right? So proper things to do, amens, hallelujahs, rounds of applause, preach it, white boy, like Pastor Ricky said. I love all of it. You're not gonna shout me off this stage, all right? So you guys are going to help me with today's message. Much, much better. Hey, look, if you weren't here last week, we began a brand new series entitled Weights. Everyone say Weights. Weights, and it was an awesome first week in this series. And this whole series is based on this one scripture found in Hebrews chapter 12. And it says this right here. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. I'll read that again because that's really what this series is about. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. This whole series is about stripping off the weights in this life that hold us back. And the one question that we're asking throughout this series is right here. What are you holding on to that's keeping you from becoming the person you were meant to be? What are you holding on to in this life that's keeping you from becoming the person that you were meant to be? Last week, in week one of Weights, we learned that we have a purpose, amen? That we are not here by some cosmic accidents, that God has specifically crafted you, handcrafted you, to do something in this life. You have a purpose. And last week, we also learned where to find that purpose. But so many people miss out on their purpose. How is it that still so many people wander through this life aimlessly? How is it that some people never fully reach their maximum potential? Like they never actually become all that they were created to be. So that's why this question is so important. And last week we talked about the back half of that question, the person you were meant to be. You were meant to be someone. You were appointed to do something very specific by God on this earth. This week, we're going to go to the top of this question. What are you holding on to? What are you holding on to? Today, we're talking about the weights that hold people back from becoming all that God created them to be. You see, the truth is, a lot of people, they end up walking through this life with this big weight on their back. And right now, if I were to try and run a race against any of you, I don't care how old you are, you would beat me because this is a pretty heavy bag on my back. Have you guys ever tried to run with weight on you at all? Anybody trying to, like, working out? We used to work with this guy. I don't think he's here today, Matt Poling. But he used to make us run with a full-size punching bag on our backs, okay? So talk about wanting to, like, jump off the end of the earth. It was terrible. It's really difficult to run with weight on your back. And the truth is, a lot of people never fully reach their maximum potential because they're too busy wandering through this life lugging around this huge weight. And today we are talking about the biggest weight. It's the weight that holds more people back than any other weight. It's the weight that sidelines more Christians than any other. Today we're talking about appetites. Appetites. Everyone say appetites. Everyone say appetites. Turn to someone next to you and say, I think I hear your stomach growling. You guys are ready for the picnic already. Today we're talking all about appetites because the truth is, each and every one of you in this room, you have a purpose. And not only do you have a purpose, but you have a purpose designed by God that can far supersede anything that you could ever imagine.
The truth is, you and I, we really have no idea to the magnitude that God wants to use us, right? We have no idea the amount of great things God wants to do in and through us. And today, I don't want any of you to miss it anymore. So that's why today we're talking about how to get rid of this big weight called appetites. And we're going to be reading in this scripture found in Genesis chapter 25. We're going to read through it, we're going to pray, and then we're going to really dive in. But Genesis chapter 25, verse right here, these first few verses, they're just context, okay? It's just context. This is the account of the family of Isaac, the son of Abraham. When Isaac was 40 years old, he married Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean from Padan Aram, and the sister of LeBron James. Okay, no, that's not what it says. Go back. I wasn't done yet. The sister of Laban, the Aramean. Next verse. This is all context. Isaac pleaded with the Lord on behalf of his wife because she is unable to have children. The Lord answered Isaac's prayer, and Rebekah became pregnant with twins. How many of you know that the Lord answers prayer? Some of you needed to hear that today, that the Lord answers prayer. That's the one thing you needed to hear today. He answers prayer. And Rebekah became pregnant with twins. How many of you know that not only does he answer prayer, but he often exceeds what you were even praying for when you truly entrust it all to him? Amen? But the two children struggled with each other in her womb. So she went to ask the Lord about it. "Why is this happening to me?" she asked. And the Lord told her, "The sons in your womb will become two nations. From the very beginning, the two nations will be rivals. One nation will be stronger than the other, and your older son will serve your younger son." That's an interesting statement. "And when the time came to give birth, Rebekah discovered that she did indeed have twins. The first one was very red at birth and covered with thick hair like a fur coat." All right, this baby came out hairy. And don't look at me like that's normal, because that's not normal. It doesn't say that the baby grew up to have hair. It said that it came out hairy, meaning these parents gave birth to like a Chewbacca baby. All right, that ain't normal. So first one, Esau, he has thick hair like a fur coat. So they named him Esau. Then the other twin was born with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So they named him Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when the twins were born. And now we're about to really dive in what we're studying today. That's all just context. Verse 27. "As the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter. He was an outdoorsman, but Jacob had a quiet temperament, preferring to stay at home. Isaac loved Esau because he enjoyed eating the wild game Esau brought home, but Rebekah loved Jacob." And it says, goes on to say that one day, when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau arrived home from the wilderness, exhausted and hungry. Esau said to Jacob, "I'm starved. Give me some of that red stew." This is how Esau got his other name, Edom, which means red. "All right," Jacob replied, "but trade me your rights as the firstborn son." "Look, I'm dying of starvation," said Esau. "What good is my birthright to me now?" But Jacob said, "First, you must swear to me that the birthright is mine." So Esau swore an oath, thereby selling all his rights as the firstborn son to his brother Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and lentil stew. Esau ate the meal, then got up and left. He showed contempt for his rights as the firstborn son. Doesn't that story seem a little silly? Somebody trading so much for so little. Doesn't that seem odd? He traded away his birthright for a bowl of beans, a bowl of bean soup. How many, can I have a pen? Can you hand me a pen? You got a pen on the table? All right, very good. So here I got this nice pen. It's a great model, fits great in your hand. It's the old Pilot G2, all right? How many of you, or not how many of you, who would raise your hand for me? Be honest. Tell me if you have a nice car. Who has a nice car out there? Who has a nice car? Now, before I go ask somebody, this isn't the time to raise your hand about your family's Taurus, all right? We're grateful for your Taurus, but I'm talking about the type of car that people envy and lust after. Who has a nice car? Anybody have a nice car willing to say it? All right, very good. You right there. What type of car do you have? A Lexus IS250. How many of you want her Lexus? We would all love that Lexus. Thank you for being here. This pen for your Lexus. But don't you, hold on, you need a pen maybe to fill out a card or something. This pen for your Lexus.
Not at all.
That's how silly this story sounds. Trading something so that means so much, that has so much value, for something that is so invaluable. Here you go. Thanks, man. Oh, I was going to say good catch.
It's all good.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to close our eyes, bow our heads. We're going to pray, and then we're going to really dive into this scripture today to really dig out all that God has for us. God, we thank you so much for this wonderful day, for bringing us here. God, thank you for life, for breath in our lungs, and thank you, God, for the word of life. That is scripture. God, today we're going to open the scripture to try and find you, to try and find out, God, how we can drop this weight called appetites. God, we need your help, so reveal your word to us today in Jesus' holy and mighty name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Do I have any food fans out there? Any food fans out there? All right, let me hear a shout. Do I have any food fans out there? Very good. So we all probably love food. I love me some food. Now, something I got to be totally honest about, I don't love all kinds of food, all right? I kind of stick to the basics, all right? Some, my fiance, she calls me picky. I just say I'm loyal. That's what I say. But I love meat and potatoes and rice and beans. I'm a Cuban, so give me more meat. Give me more meat, more rice, and more bread. Amen?
Amen.
I love cookies. I love brownies, ice cream, anybody? Ice cream, like professional ice cream eaters out there. Awesome. So I love food. I know so many of you love food as well. And what's interesting about food, what's interesting about appetites, is you can work up an appetite and go and eat, and then hours later you have an appetite again, right? Isn't that such an interesting thing? I don't know about you guys, but when I know I'm going to a nice restaurant, I like save up an appetite, right? For you guys do that? Am I the only crazy one? Yeah, okay, that's what I thought. For Valentine's Day, Chris and I, we went to Hoop-Dee-Doo Review. I always say it wrong. Hoop-Dee-Doo Review at Disney World, all right? So it's like this dinner show, this really southern, cheesy Disney dinner show. It's really cool, though. And it's all you can eat fried chicken. That's what I thought. I heard somebody go, they're ready for it. All you can eat fried chicken, all you can eat mashed potatoes, right? All you can eat baked beans, all you can eat corn. Cornbread, salad, and then for dessert, strawberry shortcake. All you can eat. So I know, we know, Chris and I, we both know that we're going to Hoop-Dee-Doo that night, so we don't eat pretty much throughout the whole day, I don't think. We were trying to save up an appetite, trying to get as much of that food in us as possible, because it was a good deal of money, so we wanted to make best use of it, right? And we saved up our appetite. We go there. We go to town on the food, okay? We go crazy. We order like 4 buckets of fried chicken. We reorder the mashed potato. Oh, ribs. There's ribs too. We ordered some ribs, all that stuff. It was absolutely delightful to be there. But here's what's interesting about appetites. We get worked up over something that's as temporary as food. We say we're starving, and then we eat until we're stuffed. Then we rinse and we repeat. And every time we appease our appetite, we make a trade: money, time, health. But if I were to ask you right now, how many of you would trade your entire life away for an appetite, you'd call me ridiculous, right? You'd call me ridiculous if I said, give me your whole life and I'll give you some food. What if I put it like this? How many of you would trade your entire future for a bowl of soup? It seems insane. No one in their right mind would do something that stupid. There's no way that an appetite can be that strong. But appetites are that strong. And how you respond to them determines your future. Look at people that changed the world. Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, to name some of the few recent ones. They all had appetites to change the world through creativity, through technology, through innovation. And their appetites directed their entire lives. This isn't just a church thing. This isn't just a I believe in Jesus thing, so I have appetites. This is an everyone thing. We all have appetites. It's a fact of life. Now, there are various kinds of appetites. Various kinds of appetites. There's food. And there's sex, and there's food, and there's sex. There's, amen, somebody said amen. There's food. No, there's a few appetites. Oh, my slide got all messed up. Food, sex, progress. Some people have an appetite for progress. They want more and more and more and more. Some people have an appetite for responsibility, for respect. Some people have an appetite to be envied. They want to be in a position that everyone wants to be in. They want to be that person that everyone looks to and says, I want to be like that. People have appetites to win. Who in here has an appetite to win? Don't lie. I love how Drew was the first one to put his hands up. I knew he would be. It's okay. We have appetites to be loved. We have appetites to be cherished, to be valued. We have appetites for acceptance, to be accepted by family, by friends, by people in our workplace, by culture. We have appetites for fame. Some people just want to be famous. They want to live their life in the limelight. Some people have appetites for recognition or things. More cars, more money, a big boat, more zeros in their bank account. We all have appetites, and there are so many various kinds of appetites. These aren't all of them. So before we go into the scripture, we know that there are many different kinds of appetites, and there's a couple things that we need to know about appetites before we really dive in. So here's the first thing you need to know about appetites is everyone has them. Everyone has an appetite. Everyone on that prior list, everyone has an appetite like that or maybe something very similar. Everyone has them. We were created with hunger, we were created to want. We were created in that fashion. The second thing you need to know about appetites is God created appetites, but sin distorted them. God created them, but sin distorted them. Every one of those appetites that you saw, it's been tainted, it's been discolored, and distorted by sin. The third thing we need to know about appetites as we dive in is that they are never fully and finally satisfied. Isn't that true? There aren't enough kisses. There isn't enough food. Not enough cars. Not enough relationships. Not enough shoes. I know, not enough shoes. Appetites always whisper now, never later. Appetites scream at you to trade the ultimate for the immediate. I'm going to say that again because that's good preaching. Appetites scream at you to trade the ultimate for the immediate. Amen. Isn't that true? They ask you to trade the future for the now. And your response to your appetites, your response to this weight right here called an appetite, it determines the direction of your life, whether or not you can really achieve the purpose that God has for you. So I ask you again, how many of you would trade your life for a bowl of soup? Genesis 25, the scripture we just read, it shows us how strong appetites can be. So if you brought your Bible, make sure you're open to Genesis chapter 25. If you need your Bible, you're welcome today. It's just the first book to open to the first couple pages, Genesis chapter 25. If you have it on your phone, open up there. If not, it'll be on the screens. We're going to dive in, and we're going to read this story as a cautionary tale. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pull out three cautions from this story today that we need to always keep in our hearts, in our minds, as we really try and go and become the people that we were meant to be, as we try and leave the weights, leave the junk behind. So in this scripture, Genesis 25, we're going to start in verse 27. We find two brothers by the name of Jacob and Esau. Everyone say Jacob and Esau. Everyone say Jacob and Esau. They were the sons of Isaac and Rebekah. Let's begin reading. As the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter. He was an outdoorsman, but Jacob had a quiet temperament, preferring to stay at home. Jacob and Esau were twins. They were twins, but they couldn't have been any more different. Esau was a warrior. He was a man's man. Esau was one of the Robertsons on Duck Dynasty. Okay, that was Esau. And then on the other hand, you have Jacob. Jacob, he watched HGTV. All right. Jacob watched, Cupcake Wars, okay? He loved being inside. He was the artistic one. He was the creative one. So we immediately have some tension right here. There's Jacob, there's Esau. Esau was daddy's boy, and Jacob was mama's boy. And let's keep reading verse 28. Isaac loved Esau because he enjoyed eating the wild game that Esau brought home. But Rebekah loved Jacob. So the two parents are playing favoritism. Don't lie to me. You have a favorite child. I know it. Here's how I know it. Because I'm my mom's favorite child. Okay, so every parent has a favorite child. So dad likes Esau because he was more like the varsity football captain. Mom likes Jacob, loves Jacob because Jacob stays in the kitchen. Jacob is good at cleaning. Dad likes Esau's skills in the woods, and mom liked Jacob's skills in the kitchen. And though they were twins, Esau was born first. And because he was born just moments before his brother, Esau inherited something very special called a birthright. Everyone say birthright. It's important for us today. Everyone say birthright. Everyone turn to a neighbor around you and say, what in the world is a birthright? If you know that answer, come up and tell me because I don't know. I'm just kidding. A birthright. So because Esau was born first, he was entitled to something very important called a birthright. And I don't want to lose anyone here, okay? But I'm going to make it extreme, so I'm going to make it very simple. A birthright was granted to the oldest son of the family. And the birthright meant three things. Everyone say three things. The birthright meant three things. The first thing that a birthright meant is that you got a double portion of your family's inheritance. So essentially, you became the richest of the siblings. Who wants to be richer than their siblings? Don't lie. Put your hand up high. I know all of you do. You're trying to outwork your sibling, outwork your sister, your brother. The second thing a birthright meant, so not only was it a double portion of your family's inheritance, but it was also that you would become the judge of the family. Some of you are like, amen, give me that job right now, because if I had that job, our family would be much less drama. You know, it'd be much less dramatic. Who thinks they would be the best judge or leader of their family, the patriarch or the matriarch? Yeah. So it meant that you became the judge of the family. The third thing that a birthright meant, and this was possibly the most important, the third thing a birthright meant was that you received a blessing from your father. And there was this idea that God's hand would literally guide you as you went on in your life. It would protect you because of that blessing and because of God's blessing, because you did have the birthright. So the birthright came with money, power, and success. Now, this was obviously something Jacob wanted. Obviously, Jacob wanted this from Esau. So this is where the story gets real good. This is where the tension gets high. This is like the rising action of the story. Verse 29. One day, when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau arrived home from the wilderness, exhausted and hungry. So I told you I'd be giving you three cautions today. We're reading this as a cautionary tale. This isn't one of the main points. This isn't one of the cautions, but it's something I want to bring up with you today. Be careful not to get good at what you do, but not grow in who you are. I'm going to say that again because it happened quick. I know. I'm going to say it again. Be careful not to get good at what you do and not grow in who you are. We have so many people in this life. They're working on their skills. They're working on getting better at work. They're working on getting better with technology or getting better with leading or getting better with any of those things, but they're not working on getting better in their character. We get good at killing things and bringing home the bacon, but we have no idea how to have self-control. Be careful. Be careful not to get good at what you do and not grow in who you are. Amen? Thank you. Thank you. See, I'm fired up. I'm ready. I'm ready right now. So it's the same with Esau. Esau is really good at what he does, but he hasn't grown in his character. He hasn't grown in who he is. So even though Esau is a skilled hunter, for whatever reason we don't know, on this day he came back empty-handed. He came back exhausted and hungry. I don't know about you, it sounds to me like he had worked up an appetite. Everyone say appetite. Verse 30. Esau said to Jacob, I'm starved. I shouted it because it has an exclamation point. I know you guys think I just like screaming, but it says it right there. I'm starved. Give me some of that red stew. This is how Esau got his other name, Edom, which means red. And this brings me to my first caution that I want to bring up with you today. Caution number one, be careful who you talk to when you're in a vulnerable state. That's good right there, because as we try and drop the junk, as we try and drop the weights in our lives, and as we try to rule over our appetites instead of our appetites ruling over us, you need to be careful who you talk to when you're hungry. You need to be careful who you talk to when you're in a vulnerable state. I'll say it like this. Just because a friend has advice doesn't mean it's good advice. If we listen to the wrong voices, we make the wrong choices. If we listen to the wrong voices, we make the wrong choices. So be careful, friends, who you're around when you're hungry. Amen? Verse 31, all right, Jacob replied, but trade me your rights as the firstborn son. Time out here. Let's pause for a moment. I'm thinking here, I read this scripture, and I'm thinking through the eyes of Esau. Esau is a man's man, all right? He is built, he is jacked, he works outside all day long, and your little brother just said something absolutely ridiculous. He said, all right, I'll give you some food if you give me your birthright. And what happens here in this very moment is something that happens to each and every one of us. It's a principle that we cannot escape. Esau, he's walking around hungry. And what happens when you walk around hungry is you forget your strength. When you walk around too hungry in this life, you forget the power that lies within you. When you walk around too hungry in this life, you forget that the same spirit that rose Jesus from the grave lives in you. Amen? And I wonder how many people in this room are walking around weak and hungry. I wonder how many of you right now, you're running on E. I want you to know that's a dangerous place to be, because when in doing so, we're not reaching, we're not tapping into our full potential. And I don't want any of you in this room to forget your strength, to forget the power that lies within you. I don't want any of you to forget that we are called, and we are called to live a life of love and power and peace and blessing and joy and salvation that God has for us. Amen? So fill yourself up with the lasting things of God. Esau could have easily, right here in this moment, if he just snapped out of it, he could have broken his brother's nose and said, "Give me that soup." Right? But he forgot his strength. Verse 32, "Look, I'm dying of starvation," said Esau. "What good is my birthright to me now?" They say there's no such thing as stupid questions. This is a stupid question. Esau turns from this big, strong, hairy man into a Kardashian, into a drama queen. This brings me to caution number two. Beware of unsatisfied appetites that become exaggerated emotions. Beware of unsatisfied appetites that become exaggerated emotions. What happens is when we walk around hungry, we'll reach for the first thing that we find. We'll look for the quick fix instead of the right fix. Amen? Some Christians are just walking around too hungry. They're not filled with the word. They're not filled with worship. They're just barely making it by, looking for the fastest, easiest way to get fulfilled in this life. And we can laugh at Esau here. We can laugh at Esau and say, or judge Esau, but the truth is we can all relate to him as well. We do stupid things when we let ourselves get too hungry, right? Have you guys ever been like, you're trying to do better on a diet? Like I've been for the past like 2 days now. I'm like in a 3-day challenge and I'm barely making it, guys. I have like zero energy up here, if you couldn't tell. Have you guys ever tried to go on like a diet, or you're trying to eat healthy, and 11 o'clock rolls around at night and you're starving? You're like, I need something right now. And what happens is you end up walking around so hungry that before you know it, you're the freezer's open, the pantry's open. In one hand, you got double stuffed Oreos. In the other hand, you got a pint of Ben and Jerry's. Am I right? Amen? You see, when you walk around too hungry, you'll reach for anything. When you walk around too hungry, they become exaggerated emotions, and we end up in a very bad place. We do stupid things when we let ourselves get too hungry. And I hope that you are smart enough to know, I know, because this 10 o'clock service, it's our smartest service. Some of you are just getting that. Sit on that for a moment. Ask your neighbor if you need to. No, I'm just kidding. I know that you're all smart enough to know that today we're not just talking about food, right? Today, we're not just talking about the appetite of hunger or food. Today, we're talking about being hungry in our spirits. And if you deprive your spirit of the truest love that is only found in God, then you will start to drink from the polluted pond instead of finding it in the primary source with God. There's no excuse. I need to say this to some of my believers out there. There's no excuse to walk around hungry these days. You can literally take Bridgeway or a Brave Church with you after years, still struggling. You can still take Brave Church with you in your pocket. There's no reason to walk out around this world without the Word of God in you. We archive every single sermon. If you're having a bad day, log on to wearebrave.church, click the listen tab, and go listen to the Word and fill yourself with the right thing instead of the wrong thing. Amen? Some Christians, some believers here, you're walking around without worship. Can I tell you that there once was a day, can I just say this? There once was a day that Christian music was so cheesy and so bad. Amen, see? But I can honestly tell you this, and I consider myself kind of a critic of the arts. There's some great Christian music out there these days. There's no reason that you shouldn't be walking around this world with worship in you. You can go on YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, do whatever you can. Just go look up Hillsong Young and Free and Hillsong United, and I assure you, if you start your days with something like that, it could change the way that day goes. There's no reason to walk around hungry, amen? How about Chris, babe, can you bring me that bowl right there? Can you guys give it up for my fiance right here? Baby, how did I get you? Some of you are wondering that. How in the world? Thank you so much. So you guys give her one more round of applause. Some of you are walking around with an empty bowl. And what happens when you walk around with an empty bowl is you go to the quickest thing, the easiest thing for you to fill that bowl up. Double stuffed Oreos and a pint of Ben and Jerry's, am I right? When we walk around with empty bowls, we go to anyone and anything, just fill this up, instead of going to God who is the only one that can truly fill us up, amen? So beware of walking around with an empty bowl. Beware of the bowl. Everyone say, beware of the bowl. Beware of the bowl. There might even be right now, maybe there's a young girl in here feeling empty, feeling like there's not much in you right now, that you're not lovable, that you're not beautiful. And maybe because you're a young girl and you have an empty bowl, you're reaching out to a boy in this life to fill up your bowl. But can I tell you today, no matter how much you let him do anything he wants to you, he will never fill your bowl. Walk away from the bowl. Can I be your big brother today in the faith? Walk away from the bowl. You are not a dog. You don't need to eat from a bowl today, all my young women out there. You do not need to go to any boy and let him put his hands on you wherever he wants. You can go to that boy and say, boy, I am not a dog. I don't eat from bowls. I'm waiting on my fine china and white linen. Amen. Young ladies out there, beware of the bowl. That will not fill you up. You're just going to find yourself hungry the morning after. Amen? Beware of the bowl. Verse 33, let's keep going. You guys are getting me excited, man. I'm going to go over time. I hope you guys brought that lunch because we're going to be here all day. I'm just kidding. I'll just keep preaching at the picnic, all right? Verse 33. But Jacob said, first, you must swear that your birthright is mine. So Esau swore an oath, thereby selling all his rights as the firstborn to his brother Jacob. Jacob says to Esau, I will give you one bowl of bean soup for your entire inheritance. And this is a dangerous place because the immediate starts to feel so urgent that we feel we can't make it if we don't get it. And all Esau needed in this story was one friend. All Esau needed was one person to say, pause, time out, Esau, before you make that oath to give away your birthright for a bowl of beans. I want you to think about this. And for the purpose of today's message, I wish Back to the Future was a real life story. I wish I could pop in the DeLorean, right? And go back in time and just pop up in front of Esau and say, hey, man. And he'd be like, dude, what are you wearing? And I'd be like, hey, what are you wearing? You wearing a dress? He'd be like, you have a weird name. I'd be like, you have a weird name, man. But forget all that. I'd say, Esau. Esau, listen closely right now. I know this isn't going to make much sense, but I need you to not trade your birthright for that bowl of beans. And here's why, Esau. Because if you don't, one day your family is going to have a family. And their family is going to have a family. And their family is going to have a family. And one day your family, Esau, is going to become an entire nation. And that entire nation is going to live in this place called Egypt. I know you don't know where Egypt is, Esau, but just trust me. They're going to live in Egypt. And they're going to be enslaved for 400 years under the Pharaoh, under the hand of the Egyptians. But one day, Esau, one day, God is going to set out on a mission to rescue his people from slavery. And he's going to go to a man by the name of Moses. And he's going to show up in Moses' life. He's going to show up in Moses' story through a burning bush. And Esau, here's what I want you to know. God is going to introduce himself. The God of the universe, he's going to introduce himself to Moses by saying that he is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Esau. But if you know your Bible, that's not what it says, is it? It says that God revealed himself to Moses by saying, he is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Did you guys ever think about that? I don't know about you, but when I first realized that, it blew my mind that Scripture should have said Esau's name, but it said his brother because he traded his birthright for a bowl of beans. And then I'd keep going, Esau, listen, if you can just hold on, I know that you're so hungry right now, but if you would just hold off, if you would just not make this bad trade right now, one day God is going to come to save not just his people, not just the Israelites from slavery. He's going to come to save all of mankind. And he's not going to use a man by the name of Moses. He's going to use a man by the name of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is going to live 33 years on this earth. And Esau, I want you to know something. He's going to be perfect. He will never do anything wrong. But one day, when he's 33 years old, he's going to be murdered for something he did not do. But 3 days later, he's going to come back to life, Esau. I know. Isn't that crazy, man? And I say, Esau, just hold on because if you do, Esau, one day, a man by the name of Matthew is going to write an account of Jesus' life. And he's going to start his scripture by saying that Abraham begat Isaac and Isaac begat Esau. But that's not what it says, right? It says that Abraham begat Isaac and Isaac begat Jacob. My apologies. He begat Jacob. Esau missed out because of an appetite. That's how powerful that weight can be in your life. That's how powerful the bowl is. So that's why today my encouragement to you is to beware of the bowl. Beware of trading the ultimate for the immediate. Amen? Because you have no idea what you might miss out on. I wish I could go back and be Esau's friend, but I can't. The DeLorean isn't real. But I can be your friend today. And I can encourage you and challenge you to step away from the bowl. To really go and live this life weight free, the way that we're called to live this life. Amen? Now let's keep reading. He swore an oath, he gives away his birthright, and this is the last verse. Let's just take a look at how sad this sounds. Verse 34. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and lentil stew. Esau ate the meal, then got up and left. He showed contempt for his rights as the firstborn son. It couldn't have gotten much worse for Esau. One bad decision after another. He wasn't careful who he talked to when he was vulnerable. He was walking around hungry, and he let the immediate need make his decisions. And look how sad that sounds right there. And that's how sad it is when we trade away God's plans for a bowl of soup. It is never worth it. He traded it all for that bowl of beans. And I don't mean to be gross with you today, but where did those beans end up that he ate? On the ground, nice. Somebody say that. He traded his birthright for that. He traded everything that God had planned for him for that right there. And that brings me to our final caution. Caution number three. Beware of the temptation to give up what you want most for what you want now. Be careful of the temptation. Beware of the temptation to give up what you want most for what you want now. Don't trade the ultimate for the immediate. Some of you out there, you're like, I don't want to sit on this fence anymore. I want to jump in. I want to experience this life that God has for me. But then you get caught up and you're wondering what people are going to think or what you're going to have to give up. And you keep looking at the bowl instead of the birthright. Christians everywhere, they're giving away their birthright for a bowl of beans. It's a bad deal, y'all. The bowl isn't going to satisfy you. And some of you today, you might be thinking, well, George, your message has been decently entertaining today. But here's the thing, I don't have a birthright. I'm excited to be the first one to tell you, you've never heard this, but you have a birthright in Jesus. You have a spiritual inheritance from God, the creator of the universe, something that he's given for you, and it's shielded by your faith. No one, nothing can take that away. The only thing that the enemy can do is get us to give it away, right? Jacob couldn't steal the birthright. Jacob had to get Esau to give the birthright away, and that's all the enemy tries to do every single day is to get us to walk around hungry, empty, so that he can fill that bowl right there. So instead of going to God, instead of looking to our birthright, we look to the bowl of beans. That's how the enemy distracts and attacks so many of us these days. Did you know in your birthright that God has given you peace? Can I get an amen on that one? God's given you peace, but so many people, they trade away the peace the moment they wake up. They wake up and they're hungry. They wake up and instead of going into worship or going into the word, they turn on the news. And then they start freaking out because of what the news says. Oh my gosh, did you hear about what he's doing now? Did you hear about them? Did you hear about all this violence? Did you hear about what's going on over there or right here in the community? And you start worrying. You eat worry for breakfast instead of the word. You trade away peace for worry. So many people make that trade. Maybe there's some fathers in here today, you're trading away those few special years that you have with your children where they like to play dress up and play horsey or whatever they do, and you trade it away because you want more money. Trade it away because you want more responsibility because you want to be envied. You want to be the one everyone looks to when they see drive by and says, I want that life. And you trade away influence over your children for a bowl of beans. So many people make that trade each and every day. Isn't that right? This isn't just an Esau thing. We all make bad trades. Everyone say, that's a bad trade, y'all. Trying to get some country out of you guys. Some of you say things like, oh, the devil, it's the devil, he's attacking me, he's trying to steal my joy. Can I tell you today that the devil can't steal your joy? It's yours because what the Savior gives to you, he doesn't give as the world gives. It belongs to you. All you got to do is not give it away and hold on to it. He's given you joy this morning. Some of you need to not be walking around sad and depressed. He's given you joy. And if you have anything other than peace and joy, you have something that belongs to the enemy. You need to give that right back to him. Amen? You guys can give a round of applause to that. That's good right there. All he does is put out bowls. And the enemy just hopes that we might take from one of those bowls. Worry, shame. Maybe you're trading away your marriage for a computer screen. Or maybe you're trading away your marriage for a little flirtatious relationship at work. The enemy's just trying to put out bowls, hoping that you might eat from one and trade away your purpose, the person you were meant to be, and your birthright. So that's why today I want you to beware of the bowl. Because when you do in fact step away from the bowl and into your birthright, you drop that heavy weight that keeps us from becoming the people we were created to be. Amen? Some of you might be thinking, George, I think you're being a little unfair to this guy Esau. I mean, he just had a bad day, but let's read Hebrews 12. It's interesting what Hebrews 12 says. Hebrews 12:16. Make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau. That's his legacy, because he traded the ultimate for the immediate. Who traded his birthright as the firstborn son for a single meal. You know that afterward, when he wanted his father's blessing, he was rejected. It was too late for repentance, even though he begged with bitter tears. Esau traded it all for a single meal, a single moment. And when he tried to get it back, it was far too late. So don't miss out on what God has for you. The most exciting thing that I get to share with you today is that for every single one of you in this room, it is not too late. While there is still breath in your lungs, there is still an opportunity for you to put down the bowl and go pursue all that God has purposed for you. Isn't that a good thing this morning? I think that deserves a round of applause and a celebration that God still has plans for us. But the choice is yours. So I close with a question. What's in your bowl, Brave? What's in your bowl? What's screaming at you to trade the ultimate for the immediate? I don't know what's in your bowl. I know what's in my bowl. Only you know what's in yours. What's in your bowl? What bad trade are you making right now? We all do it. It's in our humanity to trade the ultimate for the immediate because of sin. Sin causes us to look to the bowl instead of to our birthright. And when I was younger, Pastor Ricky, you know this, when I was younger, I would have ended my message right there, because that's a good question to end a message on, right? What's in your bowl? And just walk off stage. Drop the mic, right? That's like a good ending. Real dramatic, right? Real lot of tension. But guys, that's the bad news. I can't walk off the stage without giving you the good news. The good news is that even though we traded our birthright away, Jesus came to buy it back for us. The good news is that when we traded the birthright for a bowl of beans, the something eternal for something temporal, Jesus came back and came back to save us. And by dying on the cross, Jesus, the ultimate perfect sacrifice, because he never traded a bowl. He never ate from a bowl. He never walked around hungry. And in doing so, he lived a perfect life. And by doing that, one day when he became a sacrifice, when he went to that cross and was pierced in his hands and in his feet, and when his blood was shed, and when he died but then came back to life 3 days later, he came back with your birthright. He came back with everything that God has planned and purposed for you. Amen. He came back to buy you back your birthright. I think that's something that deserves the most celebration today here in this place. That's a good thing, right, Brave? Death doesn't have to be the end. You don't have to eat from a bowl like a dog for the rest of your life. You can stand strong and boldly on God's love, on what Jesus did for you and me on the cross when he took those nails in his hands and feet. That's how much he cherishes you. That's how much he loves you. And that's what I believe God is trying to scream at us through this scripture. Don't make the trade, Brave. Don't make the trade anymore. I have something so much greater. I have someone that you are meant to be, someone that you are purposed to be. Don't trade it away. Fight your feelings. Fight the appetite. Choose the ultimate instead of the immediate. Drop the weight. It's what God's trying to tell us today. Just drop it and begin to pursue me and run after me. And watch what I can't do through your life. That's what I believe God wants you to know today. A couple action steps I have for you, we have for you. The first one, consider this week, what's in your bowl? Think about it. Be honest. You're not going to lie to yourself, and you're certainly not going to lie to God. What's in your bowl? What is screaming at you to trade away all that God has given you? So this week, pray about it, think about it, and put the bowl down. Beware of the bowl. The second action step that we have for you today is as we talk about ruling over our appetites, as we talk about surrendering our appetites to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, one of the best ways we can do that in modern day is by praying and fasting. So join us in this 7-day fast, the fast that Pastor Ricky was talking about. Every day, give up something that you're hungry for. Maybe you're someone and you need acceptance, so you go to social media, you need those double taps on your Instagram photos, or you need somebody to like it or share it. That's how you feel good in this life. Put down that bowl. And instead of going to social media this week, go to the Word. Go to prayer. Maybe for you, it's actually a food thing. And you're like, you know what, George, I think if I gave up lunch or dinner, or I didn't eat until dinner, like there's a fast you can do that. It's like a daylight Jewish fast. Don't eat until the sun goes down. Maybe that's you and you're like, you know, George, if I did that, it really might help me to recall when my stomach starts growling what I'm doing and what I'm supposed to be praying for. So whatever that is for you, we encourage you and challenge you to join us in this brave fast as we look to Easter. And as we believe as Brave Church that the best has yet to come, amen? Brave Church, beware of the bowl. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your presence in this place. Thank you, God, that you bought back our birthright, that even though we make so many mistakes and so many sins over and over and over, and even though so often we traded all for the bowl of beans, we traded all for acceptance, we traded all for love, we traded all to be envied, or we traded all to get another rung up the corporate ladder. Even though we traded all for those things, God, we thank you that you still give us grace and mercy and love and an opportunity to get our birthright back. And it's found in you, God. So today we look to you. And every single person in here today that's being stirred in their hearts to make a decision to put down a bowl, I pray, God, that this week you would remind them of this challenge. Remind them in their minds, in their spirits, in their hearts to beware of the bowl. God, help us to look to you this week. Help us to drop the junk, drop the weights, and become all that we were meant to be. We need your help with that, Lord. We're so fallen, so we're looking to you for our strength and for love and for to be filled in this life. God, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' holy and mighty name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Hey, look. We love you guys so very much. If you came today and you're ready for our picnic, like Pastor Ricky said, it's happening at Starkey, 12:30. For those of you that aren't going to be there, we hope to see you guys next week. We love you guys. Have a great week. Bye, everybody.